One of the things that became very important to me years ago was to know the voice of God. To know the voice of God. I grew up under two pastors, my mom and my dad. And I had example after example of them hearing. By that I don't mean with their physical ears. I mean sensing and knowing and hearing the direction that God would give them. Not only would they get direction for the church and what they were to do with the church, but the incredible direction that they would receive as parents. And I could tell you story after story of them sitting me down and knowing things about me as their child and coaching me in right directions. Knowing things about my brothers that would help them and stop the enemy from getting involved in their life. I treasured and recognized at a very young age that to know the voice of God for yourself is of primary importance. As I would travel and speak as a young man, I noticed, especially as I got into America, but Canada was similar, that everybody wanted a message from God and they wanted some prophet to tell them what God wanted them to know. Well, I had been trained that a New Testament prophet is different than an Old Testament prophet, and that's true, and this is not what we're going to teach on today, but that God would now speak to every individual person for themselves. And I didn't want to be a pastor, a leader, even a husband, a dad, and have to be running around looking for someone to give me a word from God for direction or for what to do or to totally lose it. A lot of times people will feel like they're getting a word of God from somebody and they'll just lose it, like weeping and crying because God, for some reason, noticed them. And yet I had been trained and taught. And I didn't see the genius of knowing the word this way until I got older. And as I began to travel and get amongst ministries, and so many of them wouldn't make a move till they got a prophetic word, or God gave them a sign, or something would have to take place. Yet in our lives, Sally and I, we had been trained to prepare ourselves and to train our ear to hear. I remember one of the times sitting in a restaurant. I often use the same stories because certain stories lend themselves great to certain teaching. But I remember being in a restaurant one time as a young man. Literally, I was just, I think, in my late teens, early 20s. And as I was getting up to go, knowing that I just, this sense in my stomach, don't walk out the door. And I had paid the bill and I kept walking for the main door out of the restaurant. And inside was just this strong warning. Just do not walk out that door. I didn't hear an audible voice. I just knew. I turned around. This feeling was so strong. I turned around and walked out the kitchen. They were yelling at me. What are you doing? Get out of here. And I went out the kitchen door, got into my car, drove around to the front, and saw two men standing on both sides of the door, one with a knife in his hand. This was late in the evening. Don't know if it was for me or if it was for someone else. I actually didn't go talk to him. I just left. But I knew that I had heard from God. I could tell you story after story of things about the church. I remember as the church exploded and began to grow so fast. It literally doubled every year for like 5 or 6 years. And it was just trying to house it and do meetings. And finally, when we looked at the property that I'm preaching from right now, we are in different cities as a church and as television stations. But in this piece of property, it was all vacant and wasn't even for sale. And I remember us beginning to deal and wheel on this piece of property and the board meeting with me and saying, Leon, 5 acres is enough. And I love those men. They're still here with us in the church or in heaven. But the board at that time, they just said, Leon, 5 is more than we need. There are no large churches that even need 5 acres. And I said, I want all 53. I'd heard from God. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this entire piece of property must be ours. We debated, we argued, and finally, I came to the point and said, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm never going to use God told me as a manipulative thing, but I need all 53 acres. And since then, I'll tell you the story sometime as how we got another 9 and another 9 and another 43 until finally it's literally right from 725 all the way to number 1. We have 129 acres because I knew we had to acquire land, not just for our generation, but when we go to be with Jesus, I want our kids to be building and doing things here for the future. I knew this, I sensed this, and God made it happen. You are no different than me. God does not speak to me clearer because I'm a pastor. He does not speak to me clearer because he likes me better. Every individual person has the same ability to hear the voice, the direction, to know the will of God in their individual private life. In John chapter 10, it very clearly says that we, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, are like sheep and a shepherd. It says another voice they would never follow because they do not recognize it. Yet I know Christians all over the place that follow voices of fear. They follow their own little desires and dreams. They'll follow a quote from the enemy, and they'll go and do it and think they've heard from God. I've had to sit and counsel with leaders, Christians, who said they heard from God and show them how that I know that wasn't God because it's against the word. They had no idea how to develop a listening ear. They had no ability to develop a heart that could get direction on everything in your life. You can get direction from God. But you say, well, I want to hear him. Well, then you must develop this ability to listen, because the word is very clear and how we can do that. And it is crucial that you learn to hear God. You know, a lot of pastors right now are preaching on the end times and whichever horses and bulls and Jesus coming back and all the rest. And I keep telling them, listen, there's like so many different doctrines on the end times. Yes, it looks kind of crazy right now. But I already know what the word says to us. It says, occupy till I come back. It says the promises of God still work. And if you want to have direction during storms, if you want to have clarity when stuff attacks your career path, when things attack your marriage, your family, your home, when a country is under attack, what do? So many people read the Bible from a North American perspective. But when you think about it, somebody in Syria is reading the Bible right now. Somebody in Russia is reading the Bible right now. Somebody in Zambia, somebody in the midst of a war-torn area. There's a soldier somewhere right now in a foxhole reading the Bible. There's somebody sitting in a penthouse right now in New York reading a Bible. How come the Bible is applicable to all of us? We sometimes read the Bible in this kind of crazy way as though, so I want to challenge you. Read the Bible for you personally. Learn to train your ear to hear. Over and over in the Bible, it says you've got ears, hear. You literally, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, all of the apparatus, if you want to call that, has been placed on the inside of your heart. And God is always sending, always talking, always communicating. I was studying this past week and I was going through some of the research, and you see these books by people who write books like When God Is Silent. God's never silent. It's a stupid book title. God's not silent. He's never just saying, yeah, you on your own, dude. Well, Leon, I just thought I'd teach you a few things, so I'm just going to be quiet for a decade. I had a pastor one time tell me he went through 5 years of hell because God quit talking to him. I said, are you crazy? He said, God doesn't stop talking. You stop listening. You can get really, your beliefs can get wacky. I remember one time, and I've told this story before, walking down the hallways of our church, and a murderer walked in. I didn't know it at the time. I just had this dark sense of evil, and immediately had an usher's team watch him all the way, every step that he took. And we only found out later, about 2 weeks later in the news, this guy had killed his wife and eaten part of her. And when you go through things as a business person, as a dad, as a parent, you have to understand that God will always give you direction. He will always be guiding you. It doesn't say that my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and sometimes I just bail out and go on holidays. I value the direction. the presence of God, the voice of God. And I'm shocked when people tell me that, you know, I wish I could hear it. And someone says, well, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. Listen to me. When I was in school, I didn't understand fractions until I applied myself to understand fractions. And I had a teacher at the front of the class teach us fractions and how to multiply and divide and how to understand fractions. I didn't sit back and go, oh, I don't understand fractions, so I'm not even going to listen. Put my headphones in and I'll listen to music because I just don't get fractions. No, we applied ourselves and we learned fractions. I didn't understand English. Verbs, nouns, adjectives, prepositions, clauses, and participles and all these other words. It's English is, I don't know anything about English. No, they have made me apply myself, and I learned English. I learned sentence structure. I understood verbs, adverbs, nouns, pronouns. Yet when it comes to the Bible, we get Christians to go, I just read the Bible, and I just don't understand it. Well, apply yourself. Get out to Bible school here at Springs. Listen to the messages. Take notes. Go back and read great teachers. Get in there and learn the Bible. Because if you don't, it's going to cost you dearly. It's going to cost you dearly. Not because God's going to do anything to you, but because a part of your future is to hear God, to sense God, to know God. There's a Bible that is out here now called The Voice. One of the leading translators of this work of trying to continue to bring clarity, because the Bible is translated from other languages. One of the translators, a very learned man, flew in here to Winnipeg, and I interviewed him for a number of shows on this translation of the Bible called The Voice. Some of the things that he talked about was that when you look at the Bible, there's different Greek words for the word, like the scriptures, the Bible, God's word. One of them is the Greek word logos. And the word logos is a thinking that is expressed. Logos is essentially, it's the act of speaking or bringing thoughts to expression. The word of God is God's word. Isn't it interesting that in John chapter 1, one of the first things it talks about is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word logos is there, and it's talking about Jesus. Did you know that in the Old Testament, everybody was trying to figure out what God looked like, and nobody had ever seen him? In fact, they knew that nobody had seen God. Even Moses saw him just pass by, couldn't see the face of God, couldn't see God. And so they had his words. And they would, to the best of their ability. And I've got news for you. The people of God in the Old Covenant, they messed this up so bad. Showing God that this angry, mean, vindictive God, that Jesus had to come. And Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is the expression of God. Jesus came to say, I'm God. This is what I look like. And for the first time, you know that song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? One of the lines in that song is very touching. It says, when you looked into the face of your baby, you saw the face of God. There's something about Jesus coming to this planet that was to show us this is God. When you want to know what God is like, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and follow the life of Jesus. And you'll understand his stance on disease, his stance on protection, his ideas about kids, his ideas about women, his ideas about sin. You can see God in action walking amongst the human race. When we talk about the voice of God, we're talking about manifesting what you know through speaking. And so when you learn to hear and sense and know the voice of God, something inside of you powerfully begins to change your life. You see, a voice is very distinct. It's very personal. I remembered as a young man, whenever my dad would come to visit us, and if I happened to walk in the front door and I could hear voices talking, and it was Sally and the kids, and I could hear my dad's voice. Just to hear his voice was very distinct. Nobody had his voice and his inflection and the way he would laugh, the way he would, I mean, even if I heard him sneeze in a crowd, I knew that he was there, because there's so something so distinct about his voice. And when I walk into my house, or to my kids' houses now, and the grandkids are there, if they just hear my voice, they just jump up with joy. They come running, "Pops, Pops, can we do something?" Because they love my voice. They know I'm present when they hear my voice. There's something about the voice. The Bible is not just a book of rules. It is not just, here's a whole bunch of things you have to obey or God's going to get you. As you get into God's word, as you've given your life to Jesus Christ, it's important that you sense and hear and know the voice of God. It creates a warmth on the inside of you. It creates something that just makes you smile. When I'm doing my devotions and my time with God, you know, usually in the mornings and different times of the day, there's something about spending time with God that it's not just hearing his voice, it's sensing the warmth that comes from that voice, the acceptance that comes. You know, if you ever say, "Well, Leon, what would Jesus' voice when he was talking, what would it sound like? Would it be Leon?" Would it be Leon? His voice would be filled with the warmth and the love and the caring that was within him. Whenever you hear a voice, yes, it's distinct. Yes, it's personal, but it also requires a response. If you've ever gone out camping all by yourself and drove out into the middle of nowhere and by yourself stand in a big forest with no human being around, there's no sense talking, because when you talk, you're the sender and there must be a responder. There must be a receiver. Someone is speaking. Who's listening? It's like moms with more than one kid. Am I talking to myself here? Well, you'll have to use the name of the person you're talking to. You know, I've got four brothers, and it was kind of funny sometimes when my mom was worked up a little bit, you know, and she's trying to remember our name. She'd go through the whole list. She was trying to say my name, but she'd go, "Manning, God, Leon," because she knew that in order to get my attention, she would speak my name, and this communication was for me. Did you know that God knows your name? Did you know he's got communication for you? Did you know that if you don't learn to develop the ability to hear his voice, and I don't mean a physical audible voice, but I'm using the word voice because it's not just some kind of crazy direction. It's not just a bunch of rules that if you follow them, you're blessed. He's a person. His word gives, when you begin to read his word, even now as I read his word, something really interesting happens. I'll sit down and begin to read his word, and like that, the word comes alive, and I feel warm. I just feel excited. There's times where I'm going through things, and things are pushing at me, and my emotions can go all over the place, just like yours. But I've learned that in the word, it is the word that is real. It is my emotions that are wrong, and I make my emotions submit to the word of God. It doesn't mean I'm a robot. It doesn't mean I don't have emotions. It just means, like the rest of this world, for some reason they think that emotions are fine. Well, of course emotions are fine, but you can't do what you emotionally feel to do. I'd be in jail if I did what I always feel like doing. There's sometimes I feel like slapping people. There's sometimes I feel like punching people. There's sometimes I just feel like, you know, and well, just because your feelings are like that doesn't mean you do them. And so we must learn that if you wake up with an empty feeling, are you empty? No, God's with you. If you wake up and you feel with no purpose, do you have a purpose? Of course you do. Get into it and spend some time in the purposes of God's word for your life. Why do we allow, I just feel, stop right there. Your feelings, they don't mean anything when it comes to the direction and the purposes and the plan of God and the voice of God. Now, I love feelings of joy. I love feelings of peace. I love feelings of excitement. I love all the beautiful feelings God's given me. Yes, but it's all those negative feelings that come in, like depression and envy and jealousy and pride and anger and all these things that want to live in my life and make I feel like I don't belong. I feel like I don't fit. I feel like my marriage isn't there. I feel like my kids don't respect me. I feel. Oh, shut up. Take those feelings and submit them to the word of God and say, what does God's word say? And so as a young man, I begin to recognize that if I don't train my ear to hear, I would go through life and never really know. There are times I'll be talking to God about something, and I just know in our conversation that what I'm about to do, he actually had been speaking to me years ago to do, but I had missed him. I was too busy with my feelings, too busy trying to make sure that I'm special and significant and finding my way. And if the enemy can keep you following your feelings are an area where he has an easier time to attack, because your feelings are based on beliefs and focus. And so he'll try hard to get your focus on something that's failing in your life. You know anybody that all they ever notice is all the problems? They don't notice all the victories. They don't notice all the good things. If I'm going through a season in my life that's dark and it's not what I really want, and I've got to batten down the hatches, and I say, well, Leon, I want to thank him, I go back to my past. And I begin to remind myself, it is God that guided Sal and I to this place. It is God that did the miracle in our child's life. It is God that protected us in this situation. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I begin to thank him and praise him for what he has done in my life. Because right now, I feel like he's not doing nothing. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. I feel like there's nothing whatever the emotions are doing as they're trying to lie to you. I would go into my past and I would remember the victories. And as you go into the Word, there's a whole teaching through the Bible about always being thankful for what he's done. Be thankful for what he's doing. Be praising him for what he will do. Make sure that you're praising and thanking him in all three of those tenses. The Bible says very clearly in John chapter 1. I'm going to read right now from the Voice translation. It says, in the beginning, before time itself was measured, the voice was speaking. The voice was and is God. This celestial word remained ever present with the Creator. His speech shaped the entire cosmos, immersed in the practice of creating. All things that exist were birthed in him. His breath filled all things with a living, breathing light. Then John 1 verse 16 says, through this man, Jesus, we all receive gifts of grace beyond our imagination. You see, Moses gave us rules to live by, but Jesus the Anointed offered us gifts of grace and truth. God, unseen until now, is revealed in the voice, God's only Son, straight from the Father's heart. As you learn to stay in God's Word, get into a church. You know, people who are watching this, if you're in some city or some area of the world and you're not in a church that presents Jesus, that lifts up Jesus. You know, we're in a culture now where get into a church where the pastor or the team is famous, where they're the heroes, where we get John the Baptist, who is considered one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, said it this way, I must decrease and he must increase. In our church, it's crucial that Jesus be the very center of attention. He is the Word, that we focus on the Word. We can't just have entertaining services. The entertainment must have a purpose, which is to bring forth the Word to every generation, to every kind of problem and hurt, to make sure that the Word of God is front and center. Because it doesn't say that we are to make converts, it says we are to make disciples. And so as we teach the Word of God, as you listen to the Word, as you begin to get the Word inside of you, you train your own heart. You know, one guy told me one time how that God did something to him and he heard the voice of God. I said, well, it wasn't God's voice. Well, here's what he told me. He told me he was out playing football with the youth group. He was a youth pastor. And they tackled him and he hit the ground and shattered his leg. The pain was off the charts. He could hardly handle it. He's never walked normal since. It was months and months and now years of stuff trying to get this leg to work properly. But as he was laying on the ground, the Lord spoke to him and said, I've done this to you to get your attention. And then he went through this long speech. Stop. I said, I don't even want to hear the story, but I'm just going to tell you right now, bro. You're talking to me. We're talking as friends. God would never say that to you because you can't find a verse under the new covenant that will say God does that. God doesn't do anything bad. He doesn't steal your ability to walk. He doesn't steal your ability to move your knee. He doesn't take your ability to move your ankle. He doesn't do any of it. He doesn't give you physical pain to try to teach you. Like, where in the world did you get all of this? I took him straight to the scripture. I don't know what he did with it, but I know that wasn't God. Now, I'll guarantee you the enemy would love to speak something in his ears, because when he was tempting Jesus, he would quote the Bible to Jesus. So I'm sure he quotes the Bible to people. So to know what God's word says is a key to sensing God. Because if I hear something and a direction coming to me, but it's against the word, I know that's not God. And so I just rebuke that thing and say, God, I'm going with you. So you've got to know his principles. You got to know what he is like. You understand that he is God. He is love. Today, one of the things that have messed up the most the body of Christ is a teaching called the sovereignty of God. Now, is God sovereign? The Bible says so. But the word sovereign means all-powerful. He is the all-powerful God. But then they take it a step further, which isn't a part of the word sovereign, and it means that God could change his mind, maybe not stick to his word. He could do something that he said he wouldn't do, but he's sovereign, so he could change his mind. But that's not true, because the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away before his word is ever changing. God's word is for sure. So when you teach your churches, when you teach your people as pastors that God's going to do what God wants to do and that anything that happens is God, there's a teaching out there that makes the world run from us, that if it happens, it's God, because God's in control. He's got the whole world in his hands, and God's a God of love. It's a crazy thing to teach. Yet churches, I would say the majority of the churches that I've been with and spoken with leaders, this doctrine has crept in. But when you teach your kids that God is good, always good, all the time, that he is here with love and joy and peace, and his spirit will teach you, and his spirit doesn't have to break your leg or give you cancer or take away your baby or kill your kid. God is not in the killing, stealing, thieving business. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There was an older pastor in my life as a young man that would continue to sit me down and try to correct my doctrine, to show me that before God would ever use me in a great way, he would tell me that you must go through deep, dark valleys. You must go through deep, dark heartache and brokenness. And he would take all these scriptures out of context. And I remember on the inside, this disagreeing with me, saying, I don't agree with that. I don't accept that. And I remember one time chatting with him just recently, and he's watching it on TV now, and he's seeing what God is doing. And one time he kind of asked me, like, you know, Leon, what kind of things took place? I said, you know, just the blessing of God. Just the favor of God. Oh, have I gone through storms? You bet, but they can't shake me. Oh, have I gone through trials? Of course, I'm like everybody else. Have things hurt me? Yes, but just like typical people on the planet. Did God have to take me and kill me, make me sick, make me depressed, take away kids, family? No, that's not how he equips us. He equips us through his word. And so if you want to learn to hear God clearer, if you want to get direction from God in a greater way, then you must learn his word. And then you're going to find that you can trust God. As a young man, I had a hard time just saying to God, God, whatever you want with me, do with me. Because I heard people teach messages that I said that, and then I lost my spouse, then I lost our business, then I got sick and they had to amputate my foot. But I told God whatever you wanted. I'm going, are you crazy? If you'd have known the word, you'd have recognized that wasn't God, that's the enemy. While God is speaking to you, the enemy is speaking to you. And so as a new Christian, as a young Christian, or someone who is not knowing the word of God, it's crucial to know his word. That way, when you sense and hear something, or you feel like you're getting direction, but the word disagrees with it, it's so quick and easy to turn around and to know that is not God speaking to me. Well, my time is almost up. Let's just touch one of these points about our kids. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he won't depart from it. Now, none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not. But one of the things that I have endeavored as a dad, and Sally has as a mom, is to teach our children that God is good, that his word works, that it is the enemy that brings heartache and brokenness. God is always leading us to clarity. God is always leading us to salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And as we would teach them who God is and what he wants and what his will is and what God is like, that he's happy, he's joyful, he's filled with love, he cares, he forgives. And then we begin to teach about who Jesus was and how all their sins, as we begin to teach the word of God to them, you could see them believing for things because they had been taught the wonderful, powerful word of God. If you want to get a jump start on your kids, your grandkids, then they must know the word of God, the contents of the Bible, the spirit of the Bible, the purposes of God, the principles of God. And as you begin to see God for who he is, you have an easy ability to hear him, to sense direction, to know what to do in every situation. People often say, well, did God tell you to do that? A lot of times I'll just say, no, it just seemed good to me and I did it. And they say, well, I don't do it till God shows me and tells me. I remember one guy, I read a book, and this guy said, when I get up in the morning, I don't leave my prayer closet until God tells me what to do that day. Good Lord, I wouldn't leave my prayer closet most months, because I don't need a specific daily word every day. I'm out doing what God's talked to me about doing. Pastor at church, be the CEO of a television network. Get out there and be a great husband, a great friend, dad, grandpa, and let's go win souls for Jesus. And I'm just out running. And while I'm running, the Spirit of God is guiding and leading me. And if I get off course, I just sense this nudge. And there's other times there's a strong, clear direction because something is changing as God wants to birth something new in our ministry, in our personal lives, etc. And I want to challenge you today that you must know the word. It is impossible for you to know the direction of God if you do not know the word, because you're too easy to lead astray. If you don't know the voice of the Good Shepherd, you will follow other voices. We had a woman that came to one of our churches, and she saw angels all the time. And every service, she'd tell us how many angels were there and who they were hovering around on the platform. And she'd tell us that, you know, there's angels walking with you, Pastor, as you went to the coffee shop. And I saw, and it was really exciting to hear her talk because she saw angels everywhere. And I finally had to say, listen, that is not God. If you really are seeing this, this is not a gift from God. You can't find anyone in the Bible that saw angels every day, all day, 24 hours a day, and the scriptures are great guides for us to learn to live our lives. Well, she did not like that, and she left because it was her, she had all this desire to see angels. And if you want to see crazy things, the enemy will meet your needs. If you want to have visions and dreams and you pursue the miracles rather than the miracle worker, Jesus, a lot of crazy things go on in your life. What has helped me, to whatever degree I am as stable, is to make sure that I am not chasing down the gifts of the Spirit, not chasing down the miracles of the Spirit, not chasing and looking for visions and dreams, but I want to know Jesus. I want to know his word, and he will make sure that whatever I need, he needs to show me something or direct me to something or give me a dream, I'm not going to miss it if I'm pursuing Jesus. And so if you want to know about your future, stop. The other day I got this email saying, hey, contact our ministry and we will interpret your dreams. Poppycock. Baloney. What is going on when we've got things that begin to hinge on the demonic, begin to touch the boundaries of familiar spirits? The Bible doesn't say go find an expert on dream interpretation. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm helping somebody because I'm way off my notes. I want to just encourage you today. You hear the voice of God by equipping your heart, training your heart in the Word of God. Learn to worship, to pray. Do the things that God's Word says to do. And you're going to find out that you are receiving. if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you can hear clearly. He's always sending. Go ahead. You know, in one of the buildings here, I think it's a 725. Depending on where you are in the building, you don't get much cell signal. And so sometimes trying to get a hold of one of the staff, if they're in a certain room, they won't even go through. But if they walk over to a window or they walk to a different area of the building, they get cell reception. It kind of reminds me of me. There's times I don't know if I sense a direction from God about something. And rather than go, well, I guess this phone's not working, I just go, maybe I need to change my location a little bit. Maybe I need to spend a little more time with God. Maybe I need to, worship a little more. God is always sending. If you're not receiving, the problem is never in the sender. You know, if you've got a radio, I think it was Zachary that was preaching on this a little while ago, and if you've got your radio on and nothing's coming out of it, you don't expect that the radio station is having problems. It's always your car that's having problems, and it's a good way to think. The voice of God is speaking to every born-again believer who is listening to me right now. He's never silent. He's continually giving direction. There is nothing that will ever happen to you. There is nothing that is futuristic that God is not trying to direct you, trying to lead you. I don't hear perfectly, and so neither will you, but let's continue to grow in this so that we get better and better, and that we learn that we must train our ear to hear. We must train our heart. In one of the verses I'll leave with you, I think it's in Matthew, Jesus is talking here about people and their ears in Matthew 13, verses 15. And he says, "For the hearts of some people have become stubborn, dull, calloused, and hardened. They do not hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their hearts and come back and turn to me and be healed." But it says, "But your eyes are blessed because you see and you with your eyes and you hear with your ears." And then he goes on to teach about the sower sows the word, as he's teaching everybody else. How do you know the direction of God? How do you personally hear what to do in your situation? People will often ask me, they'll say things like, "Well, Pastor, what should I do in this situation?" Or I'll get phone calls from around the world, "What should I do in this business situation or this church situation?" And I never know, because I don't know the business laws in that province or that state. I don't know the not-for-profit laws in that country. So I just say, listen, get a hold of God. Here's some wisdom from the Word, but God will always show you. God will always guide you. Make sure that you have enough time in the Word each day, that you have enough quiet time each day, that you're developing and growing in His Word. Because to not know His Word is to limit yourself to a very immature ability to hear God. The more you understand His Word and grow in His Word and His principles and spend time with Him, the clearer and the clearer you will hear. And what's beautiful isn't just the direction, but I'll get up in the morning often and I'll just begin to worship and praise Him. And I just sense His voice, the warmth of that spiritual tone, His love for me. I was chatting with Sally, we were in the car together, and I got all teared up, and I said, in my devotions today, I just sense God telling me that He believed in me. I said, "Well, is that in the Word?" "Yeah, it is." See, when you begin to hear and sense and know Him, it's not just a direction. When you hear someone's voice, it means they're present. Their joy, their peace. Father, I just pray today that this message will touch the heart of every person that is listening to me. That, Father, they'll desire, crave to know Your Word, to hear Your voice, to desire the direction as grandparents, business leaders, moms, dads, to know Your direction, to reach out and to share Jesus with those that are around us. Father, in fact, I pray right now over all of Springs Church is listening, that You'd begin as never before to show us, to witness, to share. You're always trying to direct us to somebody who's open. I pray that our receiver would be better to hear Your direction, to sense your direction, and to reach out to a world that is so lost, so dying without you. I pray this in Jesus' name.